Again, welcome to St. Teresa. This is a third in a homily series on waiting. The last 2 weeks, by the way, you can find these homilies online, stachurch.net/talks. So the first 2 weeks we looked at challenges of waiting, waiting for direction with the golden calf, waiting for love, Abraham and Sarah. And so now this homily series takes a turn, and we're looking at the gospel. And what does the gospel teach us about waiting? So I'd like to propose from the gospel a lesson on waiting for an answer to prayer. Waiting for an answer to prayer. And so this gospel, very rich gospel, by the way. You have this scene, Jesus is praying, and his prayer is inspiring that they ask, Lord, teach us to pray. And he teaches them. He teaches them a version of the Our Father, which it's okay, it's different than in Matthew. By the way, the Gospels are written in Greek. Jesus spoke in Aramaic. So they translate Aramaic differently, and Jesus perhaps taught this prayer multiple times. That's not a challenge to us. It's a reality of just, it's a different perspective of the Our Father. But then after teaching this shorter version of the Our Father, Jesus goes into a parable about a friend visiting another friend, that persistence, and then he goes into the very famous exhortation to ask, to seek, and to knock. And then finally concluding with that beautiful image, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Okay. But at the center of this is those verbs to ask, to seek, and to knock. It's important to bring up waiting for answered prayers, because why do people get discouraged in the faith? Why do people get discouraged in faith? One reason is for unanswered prayers. In fact, I've heard stories of adults talk about a sadness as a child. When they were children, they prayed for something. Someone was sick, perhaps. And it seems like the prayer was not answered. And so the child's response was a result of sadness. And you don't have to be a child to feel that weight of unanswered prayer. So to know this is a reality. It's a reality. But three things. Why does the Lord seem to delay? Okay. And then what? What can we do? And how can we learn? So first, the why. I would propose going to someone smarter than me. So if you go to the ancient Christians, they were teaching about this over 1,000 years ago. And what you see is that the reason God doesn't answer prayers immediately is because God is teaching something in that time. This is what St. Augustine says. Augustine teaches, when at times God gives slowly, it is that he is showing us the value of these good things. Not that he refuses them. Things which have been long desired are obtained with greater pleasure, with greater appreciation. Whereas those which are given quickly are held cheaply. And so the Lord says, ask, then seek. By the very asking and seeking, you grow so as to contain the more God is keeping in reserve for you. What it is not his will to give you quickly, that you may learn what great things to long with great desire. Therefore, ought we always to pray and not to faint. So Augustine says, the Lord waits to answer, to expand your heart. And to think of it this way, if God gave instantly to every prayer, what kind of relationship would that be? It would be like a transactional, merely transactional. It would be like a magic. I pray and I get what I want. Would I have any relationship with God if that was the case? No. I would just pray and get what I want and go on with my life. Who needs you, God? I got what I want. But there's a fact. When I'm praying and asking, it not only expands my heart for what God wants to give, but expands my heart for the giver of the gift. It expands my heart for the giver of the gift. Okay. Good. So, that's something of the why. Now, what is, you know, the what? What is the, like what can we do about this? And here I'm going to read a passage from St. John Chrysostom. Okay, so St. John teaches, however, Jesus did not simply command us to ask, but to ask with great concern and concentration. For this is the meaning of the word he used for seek. For those who are seeking put aside everything else from their minds. They become concerned only with the thing that they are seeking and pay no attention to all circumstances. Even those who are looking for gold or other things that have been lost understand what I'm saying. So this is what is meant by seeking. But by knocking, Jesus meant that we are to approach God with intensity and a passion. Therefore, O mortal, do not give up. Do not show less eagerness for virtue than your desire for possessions. For you frequently sought things that were lost, that you did not find them. Nevertheless, although you knew that you could not guarantee that you would find them, you used every means of searching for them. Yet, even though in this case you have a promise you will receive, you do not even demonstrate the smallest fraction of that same eagerness in prayer. Okay. So, translation. With what passion we seek the things of this world. But when it comes to faith, it's like, I just say a prayer and I give up. I mean, do you ever notice the difference? Like the passion you have applied to the things of this world. But then when it comes to faith, it's kind of like maybe a tad smaller. So St. Chrysostom is just saying, maybe increase that effort in the spiritual to be a fraction of what you exercise in seeking for something that's lost in your physical life, in knocking and persisting in your physical life. Okay. Now, the third question, how to do this? I really love the beginning of the gospel. They're just imagine they're watching Jesus pray. And Jesus praying made such an impression on them that they realized it was something very different than their own prayer. So they asked him, teach us. Teach us. The closest example I could think of, of someone being just struck by a wit, someone praying, is St. John Paul II. Okay, St. John Paul II. A story I hear again and again that St. John Paul II, he would celebrate Mass in a private chapel. It was about the size of his sanctuary, very small. And pilgrims would find when they went in the private chapel of Pope St. John Paul II, they wouldn't see him. They would hear him. They would be praying in there. They'd be praying in one of the pews. And then they would hear this groaning. That's this groaning, this sigh, or this groan. And if they looked around the pew, they saw that the Pope was not seated anywhere in the chapel. He was on the ground in such profound prayer that he was just groaning with his heart, asking the Lord For this reason, St. John Paul earned a nickname at the Vatican of the Old Lion. Colonel Christoph Schönborn observed, "The Holy Father looked as though he never stopped praying. I never saw anyone so constantly immersed in union with Christ and God as though it were a permanent state that led him to submit everything he did into the Lord's hands. Everything he did was bathed in prayer." And Jason Everett wrote in his book, St. John Paul the Great, His Five Loves, he wrote, "It could be said that St. John Paul didn't make time to enter prayer. Rather, he made time for the sake of others to come out of prayer." All that to say, they saw Jesus pray. It inspired in them to pray. Have you ever seen anyone in such a state of prayer that you were inspired to ask, "Teach me to pray"? Yes or no? You don't have to answer. I would suggest the way we learn how to pray with this kind of expectant faith, this active faith. Again, these are three active verbs. How much of our faith is very passive? I just come to Mass and I show up. "All right, Father, you got to say some good words now. Give me the good words." Right? Our faith is very passive. Is that what the Lord wants when He says, "Ask, seek, knock"? But yeah, we're like, "Oh, whatever. I said my prayer. Give me what I want." It's like, that's completely opposite of what He wants. He wants an active faith. But how are you going to learn unless you have someone to teach you? It's a very confounding thing in modern Catholicism. It's opposite of the gospel. What did Jesus do in the gospel? He teaches adults and He blesses children. What do we do in modern Catholicism? We teach the children and bless the adults. "Oh yeah, you're good. Go on your way." What did these adults want? They said they saw something. They say, "Teach us. We're hungry." So we need models of prayer to help build up our prayer muscle, because many of us can only lift 5 pounds. And again, it's not, you don't have to earn God's love. Again, you call Him Father from the first day that you can start to pray. It's not about earning His attention or anything like that. But there's something to be said about a mature relationship with God that can withstand waiting. So you can admit right now, do I have that depth of relationship with God, the Father, that I can trust Him even when the answer is delayed? Or is my faith a little weak and on life support? There is someone, I believe, in this community that God wants to help you to learn from each other. Okay. How to wait in prayer. Okay. So, those three things. Why? To grow your desire. What? Active faith. And then how? Learning from someone else. Reading the life of St. John Paul II. Growing in prayer here in this community. So let's pray that we may be open to the very good gifts that God wants to give. The gift of the Holy Spirit for those who ask. Let's pray to be open, to expand that heart, not only for the gift, but the giver of the gift. So we may know this love that changes lives. Amen.